Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for Law Offices of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC, immigration.com. Today is March 15th, 2012. This is a community conference call for information purposes only. By participating in this call, you have not agreed to become our clients, nor have we become your lawyers. Keep your identity confidential. This call is being recorded, so you may want to modify your questions, et cetera, accordingly if you want to ask any questions. The recording will be made publicly available. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and start with the questions that have already been posted. We will stop the call at 1:30. I'll answer all the questions and the follow-up questions, and I think we'll have enough time to probably deal with a few questions that have not been posted. Okay? Going to the forums, the first question, I'm very sorry, CNE Bit wants to know about DV, and because we don't process DV applications, from day one we made a decision not to participate in the DV program simply because we did not feel in most of these cases a lawyer was necessary. So we did not even participate in this program. Accordingly, my knowledge is very limited. I cannot comment authoritatively about whether or not you can have a problem because you forgot to write my middle name, your middle name. But my guess is just because you forgot to write your middle name, it should not become the end of the world. But that's my guess. Okay. So I cannot really comment beyond that because my knowledge is limited. Mahesh has posted the next question, immigrant for parents. What happened was the parents are in USA. They got an RFE for the birth certificate when he filed for their green card. Now, the question is, should I submit originals or should I submit copies of the paperwork that I have to prove the birth, which is affidavits and the letter of non-availability? If I were you, sir, what I would do is I would, first of all, review the RFE very carefully. If the RFE is silent, as it mostly is, I would just give them copies of everything, and I would attach a large colored sheet, for example, a blue colored or yellow colored sheet that says, we are providing copies, but we have originals of all the documents that are being submitted, and if needed, we can produce those for USCIS. So a statement like that doesn't have to be any specific format. A statement like that would go a long ways to protect you. Of course, ideally, if you just want to submit your originals, that's okay. But if you are leery about submitting originals, which I can understand, I would just do this. Okay? Next question, Amy_IMG. Filed for I-485, earlier H-1 expired, and extension was pending. Extension was filed on time. Received AP and EAD. H-1 expired on September 20th of 2011. Extension was filed on September 6th. I-485 was filed December 24th. So within 180 days of September 20th, 2011, you filed your 485. Okay? Now, unless you have any other periods of unemployment, out of visa status, unauthorized work, if you have any other issues, we can't really comment about that. But up to 180 days of being out of status is forgiven under Section 245K. So even if your H-1 visa were to be denied or your H-1 application was to be denied, you would still be quite fine because you filed your case within 180 days. What I would do if I were you is I would check with my lawyers and make sure I don't have any other periods that will be tacked on to my 180-day total. Okay? So if you traveled with just 3 months out of status, first of all, traveling while H-1 extension is pending is no problem. Can I travel on AP while H-1 extension is pending? Sure you can. Will I be abandoning pending H-1 extension? No. That only comes into play and becomes a problem if you are applying for a change of status. So if you had an F1 to H1 pending, if you travel, that could be problematic. But H1 to H1 extension travel is not an issue. Okay? Of course, don't take my advice. Every case is different. This is the general law. There could be variations on the central theme. Make sure you talk with somebody before you take concrete action. But bottom line, usually, traveling on AP, H1 extension pending, no problem. You will not be abandoning your H1 extension. Does pending H1 extension impact I-45 process? The answer is no. The fact that people with later priority dates are getting approved is not something that you need to worry about. 485s do not strictly proceed according to first in, first out. Last question, if H1 extension is approved while I'm out of the country, can I use AP to come back and still work on H1? The answer is yes. Even if you re-enter using your AP, you are still on H1. Rahul Gopal Joshi wants to know, H1 transfer while H1 extension is pending. Now, understand something. Let's say there are three employers in the picture, A, B, and C. You have an H1 with A. You filed a transfer to B, you moved over to B, and now while this transfer is pending, you want to file for C. If you do that, just be mindful of one thing. There is a domino effect. If the transfer from A to B is declined for some reason, and your original status with A has already expired because you moved over to the new employer, then your transfer to B, if approved, would be approved without an I-94. Once again, A, B, C, you transfer from A to B based upon the transfer filed, H1 transfer filed by B. While the transfer is pending, you want to transfer now to C. It's okay to do that. You can do that. But if B's transfer is denied or they revoke their transfer, then C's application, if approved, would be approved without the I-94, which means you'll have to go outside USA to get visa stamping. There are no other dark areas here. Okay? I don't see any problem with it as long as you've got this idea of, you know, B not withdrawing their application and B getting a successful approval. If that's been handled right, you should be okay. Next question is SWE82. Bearing of H1 extension pending on I-485 approval. It looks like the same question. Huh. Let's just look at it. I actually read all the questions beforehand, but sometimes I forget. Filed for I-485 while my H1 extension was pending. Okay. Filed H1 extension on September 20th. It sounds like almost the same fact pattern, but it's a little different. The dates are a little different. And filed 485 on January 4th. So as of March 23rd, my H1 extension will be pending for more than 180 days. What will happen to my 485 if H1 gets denied after 180 days? I'm not that concerned about it. You see, you filed for your H1 extension before your H1 expired. So that means USCIS received the application in a timely fashion. That puts you in authorized period of stay. Then you filed within 180 days of September 23rd. You filed your 485 within 180 days of September 23rd. October, November, December, January, within 4 months or so. The only time I would be worried is if you have any other period of either unauthorized employment or out of status or any violation of status that increases the time beyond 180 days. The fact that now your H1 has expired doesn't matter. I'm only concerned about the time before January 4th, 2012. The time you need to worry about is before January 4th, 2012 and after your last entry into U.S. immediately prior to filing the 485. So once again, you are protected by Section 245K because even if your H1 gets denied, you filed your I-485 within 180 days of September 23rd. If there is no other unlawful time, illegal time, scratch unlawful, illegal time, you have no problem. Okay? Question is, as of March 23rd, my H-1 extension will be pending for more than 180 days. What will happen to my 45 H-1 get denied? Nothing. If you have no problem of any other illegal stay in USA, then there is absolutely no problem. If H-1 gets denied, was I legally working since September 30th? Yes. When somebody files an H-1 extension and it is received in a timely manner, they can continue working for up to 240 days. That's 8 months, almost. Does H-1 extension decision affect the 485 approval? No, normally no. Like I mentioned, it's the same question being asked in different ways. So no, I don't think you're going to have a problem unless there is any other period that is that's an issue. So next question is an interesting question. Somebody already has a green card. So Bob Basic 2002 says, I have a green card as of July 2010. Then I got recently laid off. How long can a GC holder be without a job? As long as you like. There is absolutely no law that distinguishes between a U.S. citizen and a green card holder when it comes to being out of work. The only time you'll have a problem is if you seek government assistance. And what kind of assistance? Means-tested benefits. What does means-tested benefit mean? Means-tested benefit is that benefit which is given based proportionately upon the amount of money you make each year. Okay? For example, unemployment insurance. It is not really based upon, actually in some ways it is, but let's just say unemployment is private insurance. Unemployment is not public benefit. Unemployment is something your employer pays the state for, and then the state pays them back or pays you back if you are out of a job. So that does not constitute public charge. I don't see this as a problem. I don't think it will be a problem for your unemployment, for your naturalization also. Okay? So once again, only means-tested benefits are a problem. You can stay out of work as long as you like. There is absolutely no problem. Good luck. Ajax 108 says, urgent question regarding filing a new H-1 from India after a gap of 1 year. Okay, I'm a little confused, but I think this is your question. Your question is, my 1 year out of USA becomes complete on August 23rd, let's say. Can I file an H-1 on April 1st? On that date, my 1 year out of USA is not yet complete. Can I file my H-1, which is going to be effective October 1st, and on that date, my 1 year outside USA would be complete? And the answer is, I don't know. Because here is where the law is usually. In most cases, the date you file the H-1 application, you must be completely eligible for that particular benefit. Exception is when you are relying upon extension beyond 6 years for green card pending 1 year or I-140 approved. In those cases, you can file 6 months ahead of time. To the best of my knowledge, but this is a very interesting issue, somebody should research it, it could be a problem. USCIS could take this position that on April 1st, when you filed the application, you did not have 1 year out of USA completed. Therefore, we will return your application and you can only file it on August 23rd. Okay? Look into it. I am not sure I know the answer, but I suspect from what I do remember of reading on this issue a while back, this was the correct answer which I gave you, that when it comes to counting 1 year out of USA, they don't even want you to file the application until that 1 year is complete. Now, if they have changed that mind since then, in the last year or 2 years, when I reviewed this particular issue, that would be different. But normally I keep track of these issues, and, you know, I do read a lot. I know most times what is going on. But again, I am paranoid about these kind of things, guys. I always double and triple check everything. So I don't think it will work, but it doesn't hurt to try. One practical piece of advice, if you filed too early and the case got returned, it's not the end of the world. You can always refile it. It does not create any kind of a permanent problem. So keep that in mind. Next question, Nikhil C., who wants to know, H-1B to dependent transfer and back to H-1B. Came on F-1, did OPT, curricular practical training, optional practical training, then H-1B in October 2011. Now working on H-1B. Got married, wife lives in California. She's on H-1B visa. I want to start my company back in India, but I also want to keep my foot in the U.S. I wanted to know what my options are in terms of transferring my H-1 to H-4. It's not difficult to do that. See, as long as you don't conduct any business inside USA, you stay in India, you do your business there, and when you come on H-4, you are coming strictly to visit your wife, perfectly fine. You can do that. And you can do an H-4 within USA also. Stamping is another matter. You should watch my videos on and listen to the calls I have recorded on the issue of stamping. That's difficult to predict. If your wife is working in-house directly for a company, chances are much better. Okay. Fourth, in the event that I lose my job, do I have enough time to transfer? No, there's not even 1 day grace period after you stop getting paid your real salary. Not severance, but real salary. So, and there is also, I have a blog entry on this. If you go to my blogs, you will see that entry about laid off. Just do a search, advanced search on the forums. Do an advanced search. Put the words laid off, two different words, laid off, and search only the blog. You'll come up with the entry. How much time does the transfer process take? A few months, I would say between 4 and 6, 7 months. How easy it is to transfer back to H-1B? Not difficult. Same degree of difficulty as any other H-1B. Is there any other visa that works better? No. If you just want to come visit and not work, H-4 would work just fine for you. The last posted question is, wife's priority date became current in Feb 2012, bulletin. 485 and everything was applied on Feb 1st. I'm a dependent on her application. She changed jobs within the same company. Okay, yeah, I remember reading this fact pattern. I am very confused about this fact pattern, okay? I'll tell you what is confusing me. What is confusing me is the lawyers telling you that, let me read the exact phrase you had, different payroll, I think you said. Give me 1 second. The payroll was different. You said the payroll was different. I don't understand that. Because the problem here is that while the application was pending, the green card application was pending, certain things changed about her job. And what you were told was that the payroll is different. That doesn't mean anything. By the way, under the definition of an employer and employee, there may be much more to it. I mean, I'm sure your lawyers know what they're doing. But these are things that you need to look at. A lot of time, even lawyers don't know that, especially if they are corporate lawyers and they don't do immigration law for a living or if they don't have enough experience in immigration law. What happens is that even if company B gives you a payroll, but you are controlled by company A and company A has the capacity to pay your wages, company A is the employer. Who pays your salary is not the only determining criteria. So there's a lot more to it. I'm not sure what's going on here. But remember also that she applied on Feb 1st, So after 180 days of that, she can use AC21 portability anyway. So somebody needs to take a look at that. I'll answer one or two of your questions because I don't quite understand the rest of it. You said your questions are for 180 days per 245K, is it counted as 180 days or less, or does it need to be less than 180 days? No. It is the way the law is, 181st day gets you into trouble. I think this is as far as I remember. I'm fairly certain that's the way it is. Up to 180 days, you have no problem. 181st day gets you into trouble. Does she need approval on the new H-1B before the 180 days, or does the... I'm not even sure how the 180 day is applying here. Look, I suggest this to you. If you are on the phone now, let me take your question first because I really don't understand the problem. If you are on the phone now. If you are not on the phone now, you have two choices. Either set up a consultation with me or speak with her lawyers and understand the situation more completely. Because it appears that there are large gaps in your knowledge. What you know about the case, there are large gaps. So really the whole set of questions you have are actually out of context. They don't make sense in the context of what you're asking me. Okay? So let me see if you're on the phone. Let me see if you're on the phone. If DSM-918 is on the phone, please press star 5. Please press star 5. Okay? You're not there. All right, very good. I'm sorry, I really can't help you much because... Oh, there you are. Let's see. Hello?
Hi, Rajiv.
Hello. Is that your question that I was dealing with just now?
Yeah, it was. I may have used the incorrect word for payroll.
No problem. Just describe it to me in layperson's terms.
Okay, what happened was...
Something within the same company. What happened?
Yeah, she switched her job in September, and this is within the same company, just to a different department. Before switching, she asked them, is it okay to switch? Is it going to impact my H-1B? Do I need an amendment? The lawyers checked everything. They said it was fine. There was no change. And so she switched her job. And that time, green card wasn't even in the picture because the priority date wasn't current. And the priority date became current in the January bulletin. And
okay, stop right there. Let me preempt something here, okay? I'm kind of getting a picture. Is it possible that she transferred over to a subsidiary or another sister corporation?
Yes.
Okay, I understand now. But here is the fun part. Green card is for a future job.
Okay.
If the green card was sponsored by subsidiary A and she moved to subsidiary B, the green card can still go on as long as company A still has the job open for her. And after 180 days of 485 pending, which means 6 months from February is what, July? Okay. In July, she can continue working for company B as long as the jobs are similar anyway. There's no need to do anything.
So what happens right now? I guess one of my questions was the 180 days is counted from the day she switched to the other job, or it's counted till she applied for the green card?
There is no 180-day problem at all because she's perfectly legal based upon the green card being a job in the future.
So that future job is the one she's working for right now, though, since September last year.
No. The way it works is, I am a project manager with company A. They filed my green card. Then company B had an opportunity, sister company. I moved over there. Okay. Now, if I moved there without a proper H-1, I can understand that would start running out of status time.
That's what they're saying happened. They're not saying it's not the proper H-1. What they're saying is,
no,
the cost center for the new job is different, so they have to file an amendment.
No, that's not the problem. I think this is, I'm guessing, because we have such few facts here. I think what happened here was they neglected to amend the, it can happen. We make mistakes too. Nobody's perfect. That can happen. Something slipped through the cracks, and unfortunately, the H-1 amendment was not made, which basically means her 180 days began to run from October 2011.
Okay.
That means as long as she filed her application for adjustment of status before April 2012, which she did, she's okay.
Oh, I thought it still keeps running even though she applied
no,
it on step first.
Once you file the application, it stops. The clock stops.
Okay.
Dead stops. There's actually a good 50, 60, 70, 80 page memo on this. And if you have nothing better to do with your life, we can always share that with you. But, you know, that memo should be available online. I forget what month and year that is. You can read that through if you want. But the way it works is, if you are covered by Section 245K, the moment you file the 485, the running of the illegal time stops.
Okay. So what should she do now? Because the previous job is obviously
what
not there anymore.
What she needs to do is two things. First, she needs to make sure that she does not have any other period of illegal presence that gets tacked on to the 180 days. If it is
okay.
only between February and the last October, there is no problem.
Yes.
So there's nothing to worry about. This is just very easy to do. And
but what you said...
Section 245K is automatic. You don't even have to say 245K. The government has
okay.
to see if 245K applies. Before they even send you an RFE, they will take a look and they say, well, it looks like 245K applies, you know, and they'll give it to you automatically.
Okay. But what you said about the new job being for a different position, the new job requiring a different or amended H-1B, and the green card is for the previous job, which the previous job have to be available when she actually gets the green card?
It does not. The Yates memorandum on AC-21 was very clear on this. Mr. Yates said, let's say you're working for company A. Then you change over to company B. Or, another scenario, company A filed your green card as a future deployment. You never joined company A. You continued working for company B. Either case.
Okay.
Once the 180-day period is over, you never have to join them again.
Okay. And what if the green card comes before 180 days? That's been the case more recently.
That's a million-dollar question. Nobody can answer that question for you.
Okay.
Then what I would want to do is have her join probably company. And I'm making a guess here.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the way it stands. Good luck to you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. All right, folks. Anybody who has posted a question and has a follow-up, press star 5. No new questions. No new questions. Follow-ups. Star 5 on your phone, please. One. The previous one was, okay, you're still on. Here we go. Area code 608. Go ahead, please. I can hear you.
Hello.
I can hear you, sir.
Yeah. Namaste, Rajuji. This is Rahul Joshi. Around 2.5 years back, we actually had talked in person. You might not remember that. I think I have given my background and my question too. So my question is, so it's about transfer while extension is pending, right?
Sure. And I answered that question, yes.
Right. I just have a couple of follow-up questions for you, sir.
Go ahead.
One of them is, so it's the case where my current employer has filed for my extension and we got the receipt. And it's still pending because the approval
got the fact. I remember that. And you have an end client deployment that might be possible. Yeah, I understand that. So ask me the questions.
Right. So let's say if I want to switch and if, for example, if I have to give notice to my current employer and if they, for example, withdraw the extension completely, what happens?
That's why I said if there is a gap. Now, if they withdraw... then you can...
Because right now it's t- still pending.
The problem is then you would get the approval of the third company, the end client, without the I-94. That's the chance. So
there is not a third company. It's just one company to the second one.
Well, actually, it's three companies are involved because you transfer. Did you file transfer or did you file extension?
I filed extension.
Okay, all right. I apologize.
Which is pending.
Okay, so if the extension is pending, the same problem. If they withdraw the extension, it's the same situation as three companies. An extension is also considered as a third application. So while the extension is pending, if you file through company B,
for the transfer,
you switch over to company B. In the meantime, company A withdraws your H-1 extension, then you have a problem. The only time you'll be safe is if company B filed your transfer within the life of your H-1. So if your H-1 is expiring 10 days from now and company B has filed for your H-1 now, then even though the extension is pending, it doesn't really matter because you've transferred within the life of the existing H-1.
Okay. But in that case, for the transfer, will the approval be based on the end date of my current H-1 or will the second company have to file another extension after the transfer?
The extensions are never based upon the dates that you mentioned. Extensions are based upon the dates you ask for, as long as they are legal.
Right.
So you would typically ask for a date. They won't just assign it to you based upon some random number.
But the transfer would be based on the life of my current H-1, I believe, right?
If the transfer is, let's say, your H-1 is expiring 10 days from now. Okay?
Right.
And new employer files your H-1. They can only ask for a maximum of 3 years from the start date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The start date can be tomorrow, 3 days from now, 5 days from now, 7 days from now, 9 days from now. It can't be 10 days from now because then you are running into out of status.
Right.
So the start date is asked by the filing employer. As long as it is within legal limits, you will get up to 3 years.
Okay. And then what happens to the extension of status for my wife? Because does that also need to be filed?
Yeah. I always refile these applications because I have seen what happens is old employer revoked the H-1, USCIS also throws out the H-4. Next thing is, the lady is acquiring unlawful presence sitting at home for no reason, and we are fighting with the government. So I think it's worth the extra $500-$600 just file the H-4 again.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. But as such, there shouldn't be any problem even if the extension by company A is revoked, if the transfer is filed.
Within the life of the first H-1, absolutely no problem.
Okay. And then they will again have to probably file. No, they don't have to file an extension, right? And then we will get I-94s, right?
Yes. If you file within the life of the first H-1, you should be able to get your I-94 within U.S.
Okay, because my first H-1, current one, which is expiring 15th of May, that's what I'll
You have plenty of time. So then it looks like you're okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, guys. We have a good 26 minutes to answer any new questions. Any questions at all, press star 5, please. Any questions at all, press star 5. New, old, any questions, no problem at all. Area code 240, go ahead, please. Area code 240. I can hear you. Area code 210.
Hello?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Yes, I have a question on. I didn't get a chance to post it on the forum.
That's
work
okay.
For me, but
that's no problem.
Okay.
Ask.
So my question is basically, I have working on two jobs right now, and both are through EAD. And so can I do EAD extension through either one if my EAD is expiring?
Well, you know, your EAD, I'm assuming you're talking about 485-based EAD, correct?
Yes.
That is not based upon a particular job.
Right.
A 485 is essentially based upon a job offer by the employer who processed your I-140.
Right.
Once 180 days are over, you can join any employer. And they don't ask you where you are working when they issue the EAD.
Yes.
So EAD does not require attachment to a particular employer. That question does not make sense.
Okay. So what about 485?
Your concern is quite groundless. Don't worry. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. There's another part to it that I need 485 transfer from EB3 to EB2. Now that I'm still continuing on two jobs and I got the new job where they filed my I-9, I can apply through them and it'll be okay. I mean, do the EB3 to EB2 porting.
I always worry about only one thing. Make sure that your EB2 filing does not interfere with your AC21 filing. Okay? It's difficult for me to get into the details of this, but just tell your lawyers to make sure my AC21 doesn't get into trouble because we are doing an EB2 filing.
I see. AC21 right now is being filed through the new company.
So is the EB2 being filed through another company?
No, both will be the same company.
So when you have AC21 and EB2 through the same company, make sure one does not interfere with the other. That's all.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, okay, sounds good. All right. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Okay, it looks like we have two more questions. Area code 404, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Hey, namaste, Rawatji. My name is Sameer.
Yes, Sameer.
I'm Sameer from India, actually.
Ji.
Actually, last year, May 19th, I had appeared for an H1B interview.
Okay, Sameer ji, one second. Please, thoda sa jor se boliye. Speak up louder, okay?
Okay. My H1B was approved, but my change of status was not approved because I was coming from F1 to H1 through a university similar to the closed TVU university.
Okay.
So I appeared for an interview in one of the consulates in India. And at that time, the visa officer had asked me a few questions regarding my employer, like who my manager was and who supervises my day-to-day activities. And did my lead over at the client location, does he also belong to the same employer or he belongs to a different employer? My employer with great difficulty had given me the in-client letter and so on and so forth. The visa officer had requested blue slip asking for a few documents, and my employer had provided those documents to me. And as soon as the documents I mailed out to the consulate without the visa officer or the consulate trying to check with the in-client with regards to the employment, they immediately returned the petition to USCIS. And after 7.5 months, last week, my employer had received this revocation notice.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioning about the 11 points of employer-employee relationship.
Sure.
So, the question that I had for you is, actually, the visa officer had questions regarding my manager. So, by mistake, I mentioned someone at the client side. The manager who was managing the responsibilities over at the client side. And then he was asking me whether my lead also belongs to the same employer or not. And I did respond to him saying that I do not know the answer to this question. And then he wanted to make sure the answer about this thing. He did ask me again, does that mean that he doesn't belong to the same employer? So I still said that I do not know the answer to this question. So for the revocation notice, they listed out those 11 points of H-1B. What do you call it?
Sure. They issue a notice of intent to revoke, Sumit. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the questions I have for you is that if my employer still provides sufficient documentation to the USCIS about the client letter or...
Okay, stop right there.
Yeah.
Typically, if you can provide enough evidence, USCIS will go ahead and reaffirm the case. Once they reaffirm the case, you should get the visa right away. That doesn't mean that you will, but you should. Sometimes the consulate can still create problems. But if you give enough evidence to USCIS, they should reaffirm the case.
Uh-huh.
And if they reaffirm it, the visa should be relatively easy to get.
Uh-huh. Or do you suggest me to file a new fresh H-1B petition after the final revocation notice is sent, either through the same employer or...
No, I think you should finish what you have started.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In my opinion, you should respond.
Because I believe my employer is thinking whether to respond to this revocation notice or not.
My inclination would be to respond.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Now, of course, your employer's lawyers need to sit down and figure out the pros and cons of each course of action. But if you ask me, my immediate response or my summary response would be, let's go ahead and respond to the notice of intent to revoke.
The concerns regarding this response is that things have changed drastically for the past 8 months.
If things have changed, the client has changed, the project has changed, you should let USCIS know. The employer should write back to USCIS saying, we're not responding to this, because things have changed. You've been holding on to our guy for over a year. What the hell do you think? A project is going to last forever? So, you know, just at that point, giving the proper reason, withdraw the case and or say, you know, we can't respond to it anymore. We are going to file a new H-1. Then it's okay to file a new H-1.
Because my employer might need to find new position for me at some other client location or something, and it's relatively less than 2 weeks to... for the deadline.
Yeah, Samir ji, I have already summarized my conclusion to you. If
and
you have any further questions...
Question.
Wait, one person at a time. Let me talk first, please. I have summarized my conclusion to you. If you have additional questions, ask me, but don't repeat the same questions or the fact pattern. I understand the facts.
Okay.
So, once again, the way I would handle it is, in your situation, if the project contours, the project specifications have changed, the client no longer wants you, they've got somebody else, of course you have no choice but to do a new H-1. You have to. Then, in that case, respond to the notice of intent to revoke and make it clear why you are doing it. That way, on the record, it is clear that you're not running away from responding, it's just that it makes no sense to respond and that you're filing a new H-1. Go ahead now.
Still think that the success rate is quite high for getting this H-1B reaffirmed?
It's like saying success rate of recovery from TB is high. I don't know. It depends. If you get a really bad strain of TB, no. But if you have normal TB, a little bit of, you know, medicine will take care of it. So it depends upon the facts of the case. I don't know what the problem is. Generally speaking, if the case has good evidence, there's no reason for them not to affirm it.
Thanks for your assistance.
Okay. Good luck to you. Okay. I had one more person's hand up, but I think they went away. They got tired of waiting for us. Okay, they're back. Area code 404, go ahead, please.
This is DSM 918 again. You just answered my question, the first one in this call. I just had a follow-up question.
Yours was the case where we have a 180-day issue.
One thing I understood, you explained like the initial 180 days of out of status since the job, you know, amendment wasn't filed. So we are fine there because it was just 4 months after which the 485 was filed. I was a little confused on the second part when you said that 180 days pending after the 485 is filed. So I was just wondering if you know, just in case of the possibility that the green card gets approved before 180 days, if we should just file a labor for this new job?
I can't answer that question. The only way, look, I do have a little bit of limited time here. I'm trying to do the best I can. But there is really no good answer to that question. You have two choices. You can either join the old employer who sponsored the green card originally, or you can gather enough evidence. I think that's the only, actually, no, strike all that. I think joining the old employer is the only good option.
Okay.
Okay.
That option is not there, unfortunately. But
then we really have an issue, and probably you need to set up another time with me so we can go over the potential of what kind of problems there are and how you can, if not prevent, at least plan for them.
Okay.
Okay. But really, I think your lawyers should be able to guide you. As long as they are competent lawyers, there's nothing here that's black magic. It's just a matter of applying some mind into this issue. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, now the very last question, 608. Go ahead, please, area code 608.
Namaste, Rajivji. Just one last follow-up question. We talked a while back. This is Rahul Joshi. Question ye hai, sir, ki if, so basically it was the company A, company B, company A extension.
You have an extension. You have an extension.
Right. So my current, my current employer, I had initially, my current H1 has already been transferred once. Does that make any difference?
No, not at all.
Not at all, right? And it was transferred from profit to non-profit, and it's now going to be back to profit if the company B files a transfer.
Don't think it's a problem.
Okay. Because of the fact that my initial quota was approved, like, through the profit.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, I think that's all I had.
Good luck, Joshi sir.
Thank you, sir.
You are.
Dhanyawad.
Bye. Okay, the very, very, very last question. Area code 201, go ahead, please.
Hello, Rajivji. This is for the unemployment question.
Yes, sir. How are you?
So it's good. I don't have to worry about it or anything?
No problem at all.
Okay, just so I found online like a UCS, their public charge sheet. And they said unemployment doesn't come into that, so which is I just wanted to confirm with you also.
Yeah, and the answer is correct.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Good luck, folks. Good talking with all of you, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you for being here.